To episode 116 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and in the background I've got Quattrall, heavy breathing, and Buchel making a bit of a noise as he's chewing on a stick. And today I've got two big reveals in this episode. What's a crack? Security cat section, swap section, coming up, me, shoppy section, and the drams section with a Tom and Tool 10-year-old single malt whiskey. Well, it's full. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea, all your dram, I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello.
Hello, section. A sandy hello to new to me, being with me for a while now and being with me forever, listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you enjoy it. A sandy hello to new group members, Gongley, Anne-Marie, Piper Mum, Flutters by Song, and Lee Knits. Random hellos to Tapophile, Nick from Yarns for the Plane, Shiny Bees Joe, Becky Caldwell, and Lumpadoodle.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? So who's noticed that I have a new logo? I was very happy to work with Laura Gesson of Summer Hills Farm Etsy Shop, and she designed the new Caithness Craft logo. I was wanting to drop the collective part from the name for a while, but to do that means then I'd have to fiddle on with the hoster Podbean, and I don't really know how to, I'm not willing to do it either. So whilst the host name will remain Caithness Craft Collective, the logo reflects the fact that I'm Caithness Craft on social media. If you type in to iTunes Caithness Craft, bearing in mind that you have to spell Caithness correctly, you'll find the podcast anyway. I'm assuming, maybe wrongly, that this will be the same for all the other podcatchers out there. I had a wee look at my statistics recently and thought at first that Podbean had stolen 1 million of you listeners and a downgraded podcast. But then I realised I hadn't clicked off all time button. There you are. Ta-da! So, I realised that some of you listen by your laptop, some on the iPad, some via iTunes, some via Downcast, some via Safari and Firefox. And then there's the big other part of the pie chart, and sadly it won't let me look into your sitting rooms and onto your yarn stash, but then that's a bit too creepy now, isn't it? I've changed it to a lot creepy. Could you imagine me coming out your earphones going, hello, can you move your arm out the way a bit, because I can't see if that's a bonny pink or a bonny raspberry. Anyway, my new logo. I had asked for Viking font to reflect the Viking heritage of Caithness, and I love it. It's very elegant and clean. I also asked for dark blue because dark blue is my favourite colour in writing on computer, and it's slightly different from black but not hard to read. I then asked her to reflect all the different crafts I do, such as knitting, crochet, sewing and embroidery. So she's come up with this fantastic logo, so you should see all my stuff from now on, if I've loaded everything up correctly, that is. I'm going to get a screen print and also a rubber stamp made with it, and then I can really go to town and I can logo myself everywhere. So thank you very much, Laura, and if anybody else wishes a logo, please don't go any further than Laura Gesson. On Twitter this week I came to the realisation I wasn't really enjoying it much recently, so I took a wee tidy up to myself and I deleted a few people that I follow. Mostly famous people or businesses and the old serial retweeter or ranter, but please don't be offended if I don't follow you anymore. It's only Twitter. I didn't really unfollow listeners if I could help it. This week I'm very much about, if I'm not enjoying it, it's time to stop it. And, well, this goes back the other way too, you know. I won't be offended if you used to really love me and you fell out of love with me. It wasn't me, it was you. And this might be now or any time in the future. Let's get streamlined in our social media. Granted, I love seeing the numbers go up, and I love your interaction. And I do notice when the numbers go up or down or someone's left the group, but streamline. Unsubscribe emails, Facebook friends or blogs if they don't make you a more enriched person. Oh, me not enriching you. Looks side to side in a Scarlett O'Hara scheming kind of way. No, I can love that. Moving on. I had done a wee bit of Christmas shopping and I found an Etsy shop of a lady who lives in Scrabster and she goes to the running club. And then I realised that she is the owner of the Black Rock Gallery on Etsy and she has some shinty jewellery for sale and along with some beautiful wire worked pictures of boats and other harbour related art. Lots of congratulations to the Electric Sheep family on having a wee baby girl. So isn't that lovely for Hoxton and her sheep and her Mr. Hoxton. Now, drumroll. For the big reveal of what I am doing, this is a big reveal one, with Mel of With Mel Podcast. I've been working with her for an upcoming project that you may like to be part with if you are in any way an Outlander fan. Clever listeners may guess that I'm doing this already. It's been good fun getting to know Mel even more than when we met in Maine, and she keeps lamenting the fact that she's not my next door neighbour. So, she's done the next best thing. Wait to hear this. This is her bit right. What's more inspiring than the beauty of the Scottish Highlands or the magical moments of a good book? A knitting kit that combines both. An Outlandish Clan Collective is a wonderful treat for knitters honouring the Highlands drawing force, the mesmerising knitwear in the television series and the adventure of the book. This collection includes a clan project bag, handmade in northern Scotland with the weathered ancient Fraser tartan from... Hello! That's my bit. Me! I made them, or I'm making them. This is my bit here. I'm making the bags for the kit and I have to say that the weathered ancient Fraser tartan is beautiful. I had to order it up specially and it's not very common tartan and it's the one that resembles the tartan that they wear on your programme from Stars that in the UK we have not yet got to see. The tartan is on the front side like all my bags and on the reverse side is a really bonny mushroom colour for some of the bags and others will have a brown suedette. The full lining inside will have hand-dyed by me cotton, and this is a really bonny sky blue and obviously reflects the eyes of your favourite kilted Scot, Richard. Oh, sorry, Jamie. Richard's my favourite kilted Scot. Jamie can be yours. But seriously, no, this tartan has some different shades of brown, a top kind of brown. There's a yellow cream stripe and almost a teal blue running through it. It's nice and soft and obviously made by me. Also in the kit is yarn from Infinite Twist and Space Cadet, custom dyed based on the weathered ancient Fraser tartan. Yarn bases are fingering weight and DK wools and there is one pattern for each, as well as a unique chunky camel blend. Three knitting patterns for accessories inspired by the mystery and adventure any savvy Outlander fan would desire. A set of wooden double pointed needles and notions to help you along. Artwork that inspired the designing of the knitting patterns and yarns. Special treats from Inverness that capture the past and the present of this amazing place. And other delights to enchant and use. Awesome points of the Outlandish clan. This collection arrives as one parcel filled with individually packaged kits. One shipment saves on shipping costs, allowing you to get more out of your buck or pound or euro or sterling. Less money on shipping means much more fun for you. There's more flexibility for you as well. Control your knitting pace. Open each labelled surprise as suggested or when you want, which may be all at once. Oh, I think I'd open all of them at once. I couldn't stand the wait. Now, pre-orders for the kits begin at 9 p.m. Highland time. That's me. Or 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's Mel. On the 21st of November 2014. And will remain open through December the 5th, 2014, or until filled. Spaces to join in an Outlandish clan are limited. Ooh, and I know how many there is, but I'm not telling you. For more information, please do visit With Mel blog and click on an Outlandish clan tab. Obviously, I've got this well linked in my show notes. I've obviously got a vested interest in this. So, I know the bags that I'm making are stupendous and absolutely love this tartan colours. So I've been very careful in matching with the colours because they're quite a subtle tartan. And I've also seen the yarn in pictures and I know what the patterns are going to be and the wee goodies that you're going to get. So you should be way out past the comet with the little probe on it, excited if you like Outlanders. Or you know someone who you simply just don't know what to get as a Christmas present. I've been keeping this for a secret for a few months now and I can finally tell you about it as my me section was lacking in it. And I've been hand-dyeing the inside part and I couldn't tell you about that. And I did it all in one big tub. Ordered it in the tartan, couldn't tell you. I hate not being able to tell you, so this is ace, finally. So please do go look at withmail.blog and go bye and share too, please.
Scaredy cat.
Scaredy cat. Right, drum roll number two. I must get the parents to do a drum roll. Okay, time for the big announcement, or big announcement number two. We have to do what, when, and where. I said I'd never do this. But I am inviting you all to the first and possibly only Caithness Craft Collective retreat. What? Yes, a retreat. When? Get your diaries out because I decided that the last week of May 2015, or rather the Thursday through to the Sunday and the last week of May. Where? At John O'Groats, which is the most northerly village of mainland Scotland and the start or end point of many an end-to-ender. It is to be held at the Natural Retreat-owned self-catering complex, and if you care to go to www.naturalretreats.com and choose the John O'Groats selection, then you'll see just how nice those chalets are. I had a good tour the last weekend and I was well impressed with the size of them, the layouts, the facilities inside and around them. It might seem like a long way away, but I would want a £50 deposit by January the 30th and then the remaining monies 4 weeks before the retreat. If you're unable to attend, you would get your remaining money back, and if I can fill the place, you would get your deposit back on top of that. I'm going to hold it for 12 people. Each chalet has 3 rooms in it and they have double beds, so unless you want to come with someone that you really are close to, you have your own room. The chalet has 3 fully self-catered bedrooms with beautiful kitchen and the seating area. There's a great big telly. Obviously, we're not going to be watching that. But there's a PlayStation, because when the whiskey flows, we might play that. There's a pack of cards. Whew. Gin rummy. And Monopoly board in each chalet. Now, watch Mum, because she cheats. So we'd have 4 chalets. Well done in doing the maths. I could go bigger if there's loads of interest, but I could also go smaller if there's not. I wanted to start small and see how it goes. But if you all throw money at me, I wouldn't refuse it. I just don't see it happening. Now, I don't as yet have a cost or a proper outline. I wanted to announce I'm going to have one and then see who was interested and tailor it to the numbers. And if I get below 6 people, I'm not going to hold it. So your sign-ups are up until Christmas, I'd say. That for being interested. And then I would want the deposits by the 30th of January because that gives you a chance to get paid after Christmas. That Saturday afternoon is the Canasby show and I figured that we could all go along to see the handicrafts competition and you can go and look at the sheep shearing and the sheep, the horse jumping, the bagpipes and possibly the Highland dancers. It's a grand time of year to see Caithness in springtime, almost summer. And I'm not going to limit this just to knitters because I've always been a crafty podcast, but with the limitations on space I would say to no to sewing machines this time. As it's my first one, I'm going to see who wants to come along and then get more details of you for cost and schedule. So what do you think? Big scaredy cat Louise face.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. The Edinburgh Yarn Fest next year, 14th, 15th of March 2015. Vera Valamaki, Martina Bam, Isolda, Karina Westerman, Claire Devine, Carol Feller, Rachel Cooby, Emily Wessel, to name a few, I can't breathe anymore. And then after that, end of May, is going to be the retreat at the Natural Retreat, John O'Groats. So get in touch as soon as possible if you are interested.
The swap section.
Swap. The calendar and stationery swap is pretty much finished. However, there are a couple outstanding. One of them I think is due to illness, but if you've not yet posted, please tell your swap partner, why not? Illness, totally acceptable, life gets in the way. But if you haven't, why not? And I've put a wee ear burn on Ravelry so to find out what's happening so then it can be closed off. The next swap. Well, it's the Christmas tree decoration swap, or winter swap if you don't celebrate Christmas but you want to join in anyway. And obviously you have to let your swapee know so they can buy or make a relevant item. And it's a Christmas tree decoration that could be made or bought, but if you are buying one, please make it a really nice one, or even handmade by someone else. And also 3 items of crafty holiday fun. It was supposed to be posted by the 15th of November, which is in the past now, and it shall remain there. It was a very quick turnaround, so sorry about that. But please don't be posting much later, because from one side of the world to the other, it can take up to a month, and if not more sometimes, and we don't want to miss Christmas. I myself have posted my package the other day to the lovely Amber, who's Mystique on Ravelry. Oh, she's lovely, she's got a nice smiley face on her Ravatar. But Amber, can you fast forward 30 seconds? Are you gone? Right. Okay, right, I made her a wee Christmas birdie from Amanda Berry pattern from the Let's Get Crafting magazine that I bought, because remember it had my name on it. Page 45, I think. Anyway, it was a nice wee pattern right up until I was changing over to the white rim of the Santa hat. And I'm sure that they've missed out a pearl row. And I was too Louise La La Land to put it in myself. So, you know when you add wool when you're knitting garter, and the back of it you can see the top of one colour and the bottom of the other as it's knitted through? Well, that's what was happening on the front of the pattern. And I thought, maybe knit a few rows and then roll it over and hide that bit. But then I thought, no, take it out and take it back a row. So I did that. And then it took me a day to sew it together after getting some buttons that didn't quite match each other, but do match the bird. One's purple, the other one's blue. Plus, it made it look a bit more Angry Bird than Christmas Tweety Bird. However, I stuffed their bird full of stuffing and popped them in a nice wee box. I also sent the magazine and the rest of the wool and even the knitting needles and the crochet hook that came with it so that Amber can make some more. I also sent her some handmade envelopes by me and the pom-pom makers. I've tried making the pom-poms with the clover pom-pom plastic makers I bought in Glasgow, but Sandy and I failed, and I've failed twice. Yes, I know there's oodles of YouTube videos, but I really just wasn't into it. I'm not actually a very big pom-pom person anyway, so I found a pom-pom, I quite like saying pom-pom though, on one of Daisy's hair clips, and I sewed that onto the birdie's hat instead. And I was quite pleased with them in the end. And right when I thought I was finished and I was sewing the loop to hang them on from the tree, I thought, that's a nice big loop. And then I was holding it up by the needle and I thought, well done, Louise. So I had to cut it off and re-knot it and hide the knot. And it was all done. Ta-da! Oh, I hope that was just 30 seconds. Amber, you can come back now. And you can see what I was telling them about when you opened the package. And then if you really want, you can go back and listen to what I said. I have actually another announcement to make. I have today decided to rest the swap for the foreseeable future. I know you enjoy it quite a lot, but I am now struggling to pair you up with people that you've not had before. And whilst I was thinking of using Happy Deb's suggestion of just checking back one or possibly two swaps to make sure that you hadn't swapped with them before, I'm going to rest it for a while. One reason is it's good to move things about. And I've been doing the swaps for about 2 years on the podcast. And another is, I don't like being the police of swapping when things are not going to plan for you. Life does get in the way with things, and I don't like coming and knocking on your message box to see, have you done your homework? And as the podcast should be about fun and crafty things, so I'm going to step back from feeling like that. There are 21 other pages of groups just dedicated to swaps on Ravelry, and then lots of other podcasts and groups that do swaps, so you can get your swapping fix from there if you like. I'd still be up for a couple of swaps a year myself, so I'm not discounting starting this up again, but for now I'm taking off my police outfit.
Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas is coming!
Christmas is coming. As today stands, we have in 2014, 5 weeks exactly until the big day. How's the planning going? Have you started your cards yet? Or bought or pondered over any presents? Now, I've screen printed 40 robins and sewn on a bead on eye of each. It's a screen print, it's not actually I've gone round robins and printed on to them. Poor things. That's a bit sick actually. Poor robins. I like robins. One of Britain's favourite birds, did you know? Now I'm going to rubber stamp the greeting on the outside of the card and I have some ready-made bought white card and envelopes. This episode I will rush you into getting your soap made. So it takes 4 to 6 weeks to cure and oh goodness, we better get that, buying that kit now. I will refer you back to an early episode of I Make Podcast and also point you in the direction of www.soapkitchenonline.co.uk for the materials and the actual kit that I used. If you're abroad, I'm sure there's plenty of places that you can get it in your own country to save on shipping costs. I heard Martin and Charles make soap in one of the early episodes and I did it with my pals Jenny and Sarah and Swedish Karen a couple of years back now. We ordered a cold process soap making kit from www.soapkitchenonline.co.uk and then it goes catalogue, soap making kit, natural.http. It doesn't even ever read them bits. And it comes with a lot of the bits of pieces that you need. Olive oil, palm kernel oil, sodium hydroxide, which is caustic soda, essential oils and colour and a siliconised sheet to line the mould and the mould, which is actually the box that it comes with. And to make the soap, you need clean water, 2 thermometers, stainless steel or other suitable pans, not aluminium or non-stick, plastic or glass jug, kitchen scales, hand whisk, silicone or wooden spatula, a towel or a blanket to cover the mould for insulation. So you basically melt the oils and the soda and the smelly bits and then you pour into the mould and leave for 4 to 6 weeks. That's a very basic way of telling you what to do. Or in your case, 4 weeks by the time you've ordered the kit. I will warn you though, this has to be done in a very ventilated area and not with small people or animals nearby to help you, because when you add the caustic soda, there is a very impressive chemical reaction worthy of being back at high school chemistry class wearing the safety specs and gloves. All of this is marked in the instructions leaflet though, so you won't be surprised at any part of it. The kit was £19.99 plus postage and pretty worth it because we chopped ours into 4 and then down again and got quite a lot of bars from soap from it. If this is too chemically and you do have small people or animals about, why don't you look at their melt and pour kits, which have the soap pellets already chemically made, which you just heat them up and add some colour or smell or rose petally things to them. When I did this present idea, I wrapped mine in paper and gave it to them tied to a crocheted face cloth as a present. Now, also on this site is handmade candles. There's some pretty nice kits and the price was £14.99 plus postage, but you only get 2 candles out of the kit. I guess maybe the idea here is to show you how to do it really rather than use this one for gifts. But also on the site they have all the ingredients for making soaps, lotions, candles, bath bombs. Once you have the basic equipment, then the world is your soap and lotion oyster. Now, I'm a person that burns our candles rather than keeps them for decoration. I also used the fine china and I put out my ornaments rather than keep them in a drawer for good. I don't want someone to open a box when I'm gone and say, "What's that bit of melted wax doing down there?" Yes, things get chipped and broken and burnt up, but then we have a story to them and life is about stories. So next episode of your Christmas bit is going to be about wreath or garland making.
The beaker section.
Me section. Can you hear my lush cardigan? Yep, singing. Poor you, having to listen to it singing because it's worse than my singing. Because it's obviously real in the third person. Oh no, Louise is talking to cardigans now. It got taken back downstairs and it was showed the needle it's going back on. And I'm actually going to use the same needle I started it with just in case the new knit pros don't give the same tension as the other ones. You know, that would be a bit of a bummer. It just wouldn't look very good. And the reason that I can pick this back up now again this weekend, I reckon, is because, well, I've actually written down that I finished, but I'm actually binding off The second of the two upstairs downstairs cowls by Paula Emmons Faisley of the Knitting Pipeline fame. Hi Paula! It calls for sport weight and 1 1/4 skeins of the Quince & Company yarn Chickadee. I like that word, Chickadee. I used the peacock green colour and I really like working with it. This time I didn't move the travelling lace in the pattern, but instead I emulated what Debbie had done in the cowl that she gifted to me from the retreat. And I did find that I was easily getting away with myself when making the first one. In the lace part, I was slightly wrong. Thankfully not too badly, but I know. And really, it's not because the pattern instructions, because it's quite a simple lace pattern, but it doesn't really... Right, TV and car knitting sometimes does not warrant good constant concentration. You know the thing, our brains easily lax on things that we do over and over again. Like, listen to me, you probably can't remember anything I say. But I'm like that. And then I still managed to make an error and I ended up dropping half a column down in the second cowl. And I picked it back up again using the half crochet tool, half knitting tool, half man, half crochet tool that I have is invaluable for such occasions. I will reiterate what I said last episode. The yarn is lovely. It's soft and matte colour and it knits like a dream. I'm making the smaller of the three sizes that you get and I used DPNs on the cowl and I'm very happy with the way it went. This is a great pattern, the way it is written in row by row on a table and it tells you whereabouts you are percentage wise the whole way. Makes you very happy, so I'm happy now, to know you've achieved 20%, then 60%, then 80%. It really doesn't take long to make. The pattern would be a wonderful pattern to use if you're making Christmas knitting gifts. I also finished Sandy's hat. Woohoo! It's the mad yarn that I bought from the knitting shop in Kennebunk. And this is the one with the pom-pom to sew on it. And when I was in Elizabeth's, after the last episode, I noticed that this is all the rage because they've got some other versions from different yarn companies with the yarn and the pom-pom. Now, I used my DPNs and I think they were in size 5mm and I did a 4x4 rib all the way up. It's slightly too big and a little bit narked at this because I cast it on 3 times. And on the second time, I used what I had and worked out the tension square, calculated I needed so many stitches on it, and I didn't. I think I like patterns that are written out for me for the yarn. However, his head was warm, and he looked very, very cute in it, and then hasn't worn it for a few days because the weather hasn't been so bad. Now, I was making tartan bags again. Oh, you know that, just for a change. Actually, I, as well as tartan bags, project bags, I made a tote bag in tartan on one side. It is a present and is currently in the post. And it has taken me weeks to actually finish this. It has lined and has handles, so it can go over. It's kind of like a book bag. So whoever it is could possibly swan around in her job with her bright tartan tote bag from Scotland, handmade in Scotland by me, carrying her books. It's even got a pocket on the inside. I had to redo the handles because I was trying to do blue handles and I ended up with green ones. But I tried to use a fancy stitch on my sewing machine because it has about 200 stitches that you can use. And it didn't work out. I had put stabiliser in the middle and the machine kept sticking. And I was pig sick. But then I remembered I had more green fabric in the house, so I used a different fancy stitch. And no, well, this was slightly thicker material, so it didn't need stabiliser. But I hope this lovely lady likes this because she's very, very nice and she's not expecting anything. I have also been working on a couple of wee pieces of embroidery to go on to the journals to sell in the shop. They would make nice Christmas presents. Oh, I must get these finished. One is a paisley pattern and the other is a black spiral. But I'm not actually finished with them. So, look, point, squirrel. I did hand dye some other fabric on top of the fabric for the Outlandish Clan tartan bags. Dorothy had given me a white cotton sheet and it dyed up really bonny. I had taken home the raspberry and the Le Morn yellow dye home from textiles. So I washed the sheet, soaked it overnight with soda ash, then squeezed it out. And then I put salt in the bottom of the tub. I've got one of them big plastic tubs that is squidgy. And I think they call them buffalo tubs. But I got this one from IKEA. And actually, well, Richard decided that he was getting it because he was going to use it for his triathlon stuff. But they don't do triathlons just now, so I've commandeered it. And so I put the salt in the bottom of the tub and in hot water to dissolve the salt. Then I added the dye and gave it a whirl around. And then I put in the material. The raspberry one is much more interesting effects because where the dye powder was stronger than other parts, and also the dye is affected by the salt, so it can sometimes make small spots on the fabric. And doing this with watercolour paint is always good fun for if you're making a water effect. But this wasn't. And the lemon was more of an even effect. Whilst it's really bonny, maybe not as interesting as the raspberry, but they'll both look really nice when they're cut up. This is actually to go with a lilac tartan bag that somebody has requested me to make. And I had made one, but the white fabric on the back was not suitable. So I've had to unpick that. And I'm actually going to just totally put that to the side and start again. Now, Shirley had been on her holidays south and had made it into a craft shop. I think it was Hobby Craft. She gave us all a cotton shopping bag with a metre of 1-inch wide cotton lace. And we had to do something interesting with it. So I stuck mine in the hand dye. So the bag is now lemon yellow and the lace is raspberry. And this is because Scotland has now introduced a 5p charge on all bags, especially plastic ones for all shopping. There's the odd exception, such as you get your raw food in bags, such as meat, and I think maybe prescription medicines, but we all have to remember our shoppers at all times. And it's kind of okay when you go to the supermarket, because we've been used to doing that for quite a while now. But say going to the clothes shop or up the high street, it's a different kettle of fish. This is where our wee strawberry fold-up bag that I know I have somewhere. I love this strawberry bag, but it's gotten lost again. And it'd be really handy for my handbag. However, I've got loads of cotton bags, so I'm emptying them out of wool and taking them downstairs slowly. And it's been nice to find the wool that was in them, is to be said, and the bags that I got in America. So they're fair coming into fruition. Thank you very much again, Pat Frank. I finished reading Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett, which was very good. Very, very good. It's set in the 12th century and it's based around the building of a cathedral in medieval England. It's a kind of saga, as it starts in 1123 and it carries on the story until 1174. So I'd recommend this either by actual tome or Kindle or audio. Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett. Not Pillars of the Salt. Male. On to the collective. As I said, I was at Textile Artists on Tuesday and the Christmas cards again continued, which was very nice. Catherine has quite a few finished pieces and she's very heavily French knotted work, which I've taken a photograph for Flickr. She quite prepared for her cards and she's got a wee pile of calico which is all pre-cut to work on top of. Dorothy had been outlining wee robins that she had from printed material in gold, again with the robins. She had screen printed robins design, put robins, smack them on the design a little bit. Sellotape, onto some sparkly white material, and then she went over them with her fabric paints, and that's where I got the idea from, because when we bought the screen print back in the start of the year, or middle of the year, but part of the year that was not just now, I had said, won't that be lovely for Christmas, because it could be a robin, whereas I actually think it's a wren, but it's not too different. And Valerie came in with some really lovely pieces. It was three handmade bits of paper, handmade paper, and she was stitching beads onto it and she was going to mount it so it made it look like three waves of a stormy sea. Very, very cool. Oh, and bless her cotton socks, she gave me a beautiful teal and turquoise felted brooch that she'd been making for a while. And of course, it matched perfectly my turquoise L.L. Bean top. And I didn't say, look, it matches. She also has the most pretty of butterfly pictures made from French notes. And it was only a butterfly negative with all the circle around, and with a circle around it filled with French notes. So a French note is where you take your needle up from the fabric and put it down in nearly the same place, but at the same time you wrap the working thread around the needle at least twice, and then you hold that twist whilst you pull the needle all the long thread back through, and it leaves a knot on top of the fabric, and they're a bit Marmite. Some people love them, some people hate them. I am of the I love them camp. As long as there's plenty of thread in my needle, I could do them all day. They do waste a bit of thread near the end, though, which is a bit of a shame because I hate waste of things. Celia was making loads of little felted robins. I'm getting a theme here, the robin, which she's going to mount onto cards. They all were like little characters, tweet tweeting away. And Shirley was stitching robins. When the red, red robin comes, bob, bob, bobbing along. As I'd taken home the screen print of the wee birdie, I had a set of upholstery fabric that had come from a sample book from, oh, I don't know where. And it really didn't take too long at all. I couldn't find a good squeegee, so I used my Tesco Club card, which is a loyalty card. I almost used my AA card again, but there was no Starbucks lassie around to reject it. That's a story from Maine when I tried to buy a coffee in Starbucks with using my AA card. And that's Automobile Association. It's not the other AA. And it was purely because it was yellow on one side and the travel card was yellow. She handed it back, so that's not going to work. So I handed her cash, and as she handed it back, because in my head I was freaking out that I had no money left for the rest of the holiday. This thing wasn't working. And then I realised that I had given her the wrong card. I kept a very straight face. And on to the drams this episode. Do you like my new cork noise? Isn't it good? And after this, the blah 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 section and the shoppy section. So if you're not into the drinking, the shopping or the blah 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 stuff, thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode. If you are into the drinking, stay tuned. And the shopping, obviously. I need to change my script here. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Tom and Tool 10-year-old single malt whiskey.
I'm drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Hello.
This episode, we are drinking a Tom and Tool 10-year-old single malt whiskey, and we also have a special guest of the washing machine in the background.
Washing machine and the fire's on, and the two dogs are snoring.
So, yeah.
Lots of background noise.
Yeah, sorry about the washing machine, I don't normally have it on.
It's got my overalls in it.
Yes.
They got dirty today.
Were they?
Yes, I was busy today.
Oh, good. Were you rolling around in the dirt?
No, I was fighting electrons.
Ooh.
Making them all, taming them. I was taming electrons, whipping them into shape and making them go the right way down the buzz bars.
Excited stuff.
I was a good day.
Right, could you pass me the tub?
I certainly can.
This very dusty tub. I bought this in Tesco's. It was on a good price. I think it's £34. And then I realised it's just a 10-year-old. But...
Sorry?
They could have dusted the top of it.
Could have, but it tastes all right.
It is a round cylindrical tub. It's purple at the bottom. Is it a plum colour? Purple.
Some more of a violet kind of colour.
A violet, I couldn't get the word out. I kept thinking of velvet, that's not right. That would be a good velvet colour though.
Mm-hmm.
And the top two thirds are in cream, and at the top is a...
kind of glen type scenario.
Painted picture of a glen, of the water coming down the hill. And it's Tom and Tool, the Gentle Dram, 10 years, Speyside Glenlivet, single malt Scotch whisky. And at the bottom it says, after years of searching for the purest natural water in Scotland, we discovered the Ballantruan Spring. So that must be the picture. For millions of years, this water has been flowing through the mountainside near Tom and Tool, the highest village in the Highlands, in the heart of Speyside Glenlivet region. Do you like my Highland accent here?
No.
Tom and Tool...
It's like to be quite blunt, but that's a rubbish Highland accent.
Was, wasn't it? The Tom and Tool distillery was built to capture this unique resource, and this is the master distiller, Robert...
Fleming.
Robert.
Fleming, and it's Fleming.
Is it? Well, I might see it at the back. I couldn't He must be a doctor because he carries rain. Distilled at the Tomintil Distillery, Ballindalloch, Banffshire, Speyside, product of Scotland. Ballindalloch, is that not where they've got loads of lorries come from?
That's for Yeah.
Right, and it's a 70 centilitre bottle, 40% volume. In the back, it's got the tasting notes, but we'll go on to that later. Oh, boo, drinkresponsibly.com.
Cool.
So don't drink all of it in one night. So, that's the info. If you'd like to take it out of the tub. And how do you describe that bottle?
Almost empty.
The shape of the bottle, don't they?
But the shape, very traditional.
Yeah.
Very traditional, kind of like the one kind James would feed his pet lamb.
Yeah. With. Although, I wouldn't say that the shiny gold outlined labels were. You don't see them very often in
no,
the bar.
No, it's a very colourful box and bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Embossed gold.
Yeah, it's sort of similar. It runs back with the same design to the front. Right, what is the colour of the rest of that dram in the bottom of here? That bottle?
Well, I'd say that was either a Chewbacca who's had a bath in the last couple of days or...
Dirty Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I was going to say...
I'd say that's more Dirty Winnie
the Pooh. Dirty
Winnie
the Pooh.
Standing in front of Tigger. Tigger's orange. And the orange is bouncing off Winnie the Pooh's fur.
Yep, I'll go with that.
Why is there not much bottle in this whiskey? I've not had any.
It sounds like you've had some already.
I've not touched a drop in a week.
No, because it's quite. If you've had it for quite some time, quite a few weeks.
Yeah, every
and
time.
And I have had a little chip out of it at the weekends.
Yeah, every time we meant to. Do the drams.
Ugh, you decided hard. Not to, and I did dram anyway.
Yeah. So, the cork, Mr. Hunt.
Oh.
Oh, it's a good cork.
It's been a while since we've had a good cork.
It has been a while.
Oh, smell that.
Oh, it smells very nice. Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Very sweet. Smell, that's a smell. So, put it into the glass and have a wee colour. The taste notes is on the back of the bottle and the tub.
It's on the bottle, is it?
Is it?
No, I haven't seen it on the bottle.
Alright.
It's got a little bit of detail.
The tasty notes is on the back of the tub.
It says it's suggestions of citrus, toffee, tones with a hint of raisins. I would go with the toffee and the...
Do you get raisins?
Definitely getting toffee. Very distinct. Oh.
Wanting sugar tonight.
The raisins, just maybe the sweetness I'm getting there.
Oh, it could be. Right, pour.
Just toffee.
Pour,
that's
pour,
the toffee-ish
pour,
smelling
pour,
toffee.
Pour, pour,
look, I'm just...
I sound like a Dalek there.
Yeah. Exterminate the doctor. Exterminate the drama.
It's bigger on the inside, let's hope. Come on, pour me. I'm toning with a whiskey.
Okay, so...
Right, colour in the glass.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, stand beside Tigger with the orange bouncing off his bonnet. And the smell in the glass.
It smells slightly different from in the bottle.
It does, it smells of glass.
I'm maybe getting the citrus side of it now. It's not as sweet.
I'm getting a clean glass out of the dishwasher.
Yeah, I'm getting whiskey, alcohol, and maybe a citrusy.
Oh no, I'm getting no citrus. Oh, fair amount of water in there. Rather a lot of water in your own. That's what's going on. Right.
I'm pouring from experience.
Slange
of hand.
Now you put quite a bit of water in. Does it need it? Burny. Burny on the tongue. Yes, it does.
Clean, creamy, with some sweetness balanced by gentle oaky spice.
Yes, I'm getting oak.
Are you?
It's a kind of oaky type of one. I'm not getting much smoke or peaty, so there's none of that. This is bouncing around the heather, kind of out in the middle of the highways.
It doesn't taste as nice as it smells at the bottle. I was loving that smell at the bottle, and I've lost it now. And I'm taking a taste, and I'm not getting a great deal from it, other than it's a kind of quite a sharp whiskey. Pardon?
I was trying to put a little bit on my tongue and then breathe in over the whiskey on my tongue. Because apparently...
And it didn't work?
No, it didn't. No, not at all. Hence the coughing fit. But I think that's how you're supposed to do it sometimes. It's nice, though. It's quite... It's a bit too burny. I'd have liked it if it was a bit more mellow.
And the finish is supposed to be enduring with sweetness followed by spice.
Is the spice the burn?
I'm getting a toffee again now with the aftertaste. It's been lingering in my mouth. A bit of toffee and sweetness.
Oh, toffee.
I haven't had my pudding yet.
Oof.
Chocolate.
That's toffee. I had a bit earlier on.
Did you?
Yeah. Right. So, where is Tom and Till? Have we ever been to Tom and Till?
I think I have. Is that not near the mountain bike place?
Oh, it is.
Glenlivet.
Yes, it is.
Glenlivet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tom and Till. I went through there. It's in deepest, darkest Mordor.
We went through there as a family.
Sadly, because
we've mentioned this before, there was a really bad accident on the E9 and it closed it. So we decided to go inland and round it.
It's getting easier to drink now, it's quite nice.
Is it? And you go into Tom and Tull. Now, this area is quite high up. Is it south of the Cairngorms and along a bit?
It's kind of east.
Yeah.
And it runs, well, it runs down sort of parallel with the A9.
Yeah.
But you're kind of dodging along single track roads and winding. It's very windy and it's always blocked with snow.
Yes. A lot of the time.
Always. At between the Lecht
and
Cock Bridge.
Pause for a bit. It's a place in Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they must have lots of rain there, I would imagine, with it being a hill. High up.
Snow.
Wind swept.
Ice. Sleet.
Heathery hills.
Yeah.
And
there ain't much to do other than drink whiskey.
Lots of stags and hunting that grouse kind of area. Yeah.
Fishing.
Yeah.
And making whiskey.
And being outside.
It's a great wee spot. It's a beautiful part of the world.
It is. It's just we weren't in the right frame of mind to be there because we didn't want to have to go that way.
Yes.
I'd quite like to go back if we were
basically
sort of
a 5-hour journey took us 12 hours.
Oh, it was horrendous. However, it wasn't as bad as the other people's had that day.
Yes.
So we won't complain too much. Plus, it meant we've now got a story to see that we were at Tom and Tull. Now, who would you have run for this dram?
Well, I've got two people around. Well, one person, one entity.
Okay.
The person I'd like to have around is Guy Martin, who is he's a motorbike racer.
Was a motorbike racer.
He still rides motorbikes and mountain bikes and many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently got a series on about breaking world records for speed and stuff. So he's built a two-man bicycle type thing for the world record of cycling a distance in 24 hours, the world hovercraft record, speed record, which he crashed and didn't get.
He did.
A motorbike record to get to the top of some hill, the go-kart record for going down a hill.
Which he got but then crashed.
Yeah. What else did he get?
Sorry if
what else has he done?
Lots and lots of that, but he's really calm under pressure.
Well, you see, I think him and my other guest are actually kind of one and the same because I like to kind of go fast on a mountain bike and stuff. But I wouldn't go on a motorbike because I know I'll end up wrecking myself big time. So I won't do it. And in a car, I don't do it in a car anymore because I have responsibilities now, you see.
Not that you did it in the previous...
Oh, of course not. No. But, no, he's good. He's very entertaining and he's sort of engineering geeky kind of mentality as well. He likes to take things apart and work it, find out how they work, and he has a fair bit of chat and patter, especially to the fairer sex.
Yes, it's kind of cringeworthy. Isn't
it? It's quite cringeworthy, but it's a few. I've picked up a few tips.
What? Excuse me a minute, listeners.
Ow. So I was hurting there before I actually hurt. That's my guest, and who's your first guest?
Well, I'm having a few. I'm going to have Dane Abroad, whose name's Hannah, I think it's Hannah, and her hubby, because they went to the New Lanark Hotel specially to see... We went for a wedding dance, remember? Yeah. To see the Great Scottish Tapestry, which was on exhibit.
Wow, cool.
And then they stayed at the bar and they sat and had their own drumming session.
Oh, very good.
She made him listen to us.
Oh no, sorry,
your husband, Hannah.
Drive you to drink.
And he made me laugh very much because they sat and they did drumming.
Cheers.
The bar in New Lanark, and it's right posh.
To
Dana Broad.
Dana Broad and her hubby.
And her hubby.
And apologies for making them listen to me waffle on.
Hello. Hello. Oh, okay. And
it's a beautiful spot, isn't it?
It is lovely. Mm. Really, really beautiful. And, of course, the tapestry. Mm, and she sent me a picture of it as well. There's Miss McIntosh and all the bairns. And then I remembered how messy the house was when we did it. And also I'd like to have Mel and Dennis. Because we speak to Mel an awful lot. And her lovely husband Dennis, who's just started drinking whiskey. They had a plumber round one day.
You can stop. You can't stop drinking whiskey. You take breaks. Generally, maybe on a Friday night after a week's work.
They had a plumber round and the plumber spotted the whiskey that they bought in. It was a Glenlivet or Glenfiddich, one or the other. And he says, that's a good one.
Both good choices.
That's a good one. And they started having this whiskey conversation about what's the good whiskey to drink. And I says, tell him to try Highland Park and an Old Pulteney. So, who else are you having?
I'm having my chimp. Well...
So, explain the chimp.
Well, we seen a guy called Professor Steve Peters, getting interviewed on the...
Russell Howard. I mentioned this last episode, right now.
And he was on about sports psychology. And basically, I bought his book. It's called The Chimp Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of... It details inside everybody. There's like the human and the chimp, and like it's all about emotions and fats and processing feelings and thoughts and stuff. Anyway, you have to name your chimp.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't yet quite named my chimp. You've named it for me.
Yes, we
but
have.
That name hasn't stuck. It's not been christened that name yet.
Mr. Chip Hobnob.
Chip Nob.
For short. Yeah. Or digestive, chocolate digestive is the middle. Do you know they don't have chocolate digestives or any type of digestives in America?
Do you know that I rarely eat chips? Yet my chimp, you've not named Chip.
But you like chips, and when you have them,
you always
hate yourself for eating them.
I don't like eating a lot of chips. So he's not going to name that. I can't hate my chimp. I've got to embrace my chimp.
Do you have to cuddle your chimp?
Oh, yeah. You have to tame it.
I love my chimp.
You have to negotiate with your chimp.
Because Mum called my chimp for me.
Which was?
Cheesy Louise. Which I think
so my chimp hasn't yet got a name. It's nameless.
Answers on a postcard for what Richard's chimp could be.
There are many concepts and directions it could take, but the jury's out just now.
Do you know when I'm drinking this whiskey, as you're yakkering on about chimps? My tongue goes a bit numb.
It's very yellowy, actually, under the light.
Well, it's obviously Tigger's moved off somewhere. He's a wee to be bored stupid by Piglet.
It grows in you. Gets easier to drink now.
My tongue's a bit numb, so maybe that's why. Yeah. It's that kind of way when you've had... I was going to say TCP. Well, yeah, when you gargle with TCP or something to numb your mouth.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Lefroig?
Actually.
Like Lefroig?
No, I like Lefroig. It's not that dislike this. Oh, I'm going to have Russell Howard as well.
Very good. I'd like to shake Russell Howard's hand.
Yes, he's the comedian.
Why would you invite Russell Howard?
Just because he's funny. And he's very topical and he stands up. He's very liberal, but he's...
He stands up for the wee man as well.
He stands up for the wee man. And he always ends it and it's not doom and gloom. And he shows the positive stories at the end, which I always like, because you think, well, not everybody's bad out there.
Not everybody.
Just most
people.
On the news. Because the news is always bad. Right, have you got anything else to say? Would you buy this again?
I would certainly drink this again.
But would you buy it? You didn't buy it in the first place.
No, I wouldn't spend the money you spent on it again.
No.
I mean, there's other drams you can get a lot cheaper. Yeah. That, I would say, are more
It was because drinking. We hadn't drunk it. Before, or we hadn't done it on the drams.
That's nice, I like it. I wouldn't say it's up there in the top 10.
No.
But it's certainly, it's okay. Would you?
I wouldn't buy it again. If we were somewhere and somebody gave me one, I wouldn't say no if there was none of the ones that I like better at first. It is quite a Speyside type of dram. There's no smell or taste of the sea in it.
No, I think calling it the gentle dram is maybe a bit of a misnomer.
How do you mean?
It's not as smooth as some.
It's
okay, it's nice. I mean, it's just not jumping up and going, have this again.
It might be nice in a hot toddy, because it kind of numbs your throat.
For £35?
Well, yes.
I'll buy you some TCP to gargle with.
Oh no, I've got big tastes, me.
Better start earning them, then.
Could you buy some more bags, please? Because then I can afford to buy some more.
Yes, buy more bags, please. Maybe I can send her off to America again.
Oh, hooray, Paula, I'm coming back.
20 days this time, not just 10.
Oh, Paula, I hear
it. No, it wasn't 10 before, was it? It was 9.
No, I went Friday to Saturday.
All right.
You've lost the thread now.
8 days. 8 days now. No. 16 days now. Not 8.
Oh, no, I'd miss you too much.
We'd cope.
No, I'd miss you
We'd too have much. Adventures. We'd go off into the hills.
Of course you would.
We'd go camping.
But I'd miss Buchel. Buchel learned to lie down today.
Yes, I know.
But he also learned to chew the window ledge quite a bit.
Yes, I know. Bad dog.
Bad dog. I'd say that was about it. You any more to say?
Nope.
Right, well, what do we say?
Slanjiva.
I quite like the Dorlick part of that. That made me laugh when I was editing it today.
Shoppy section.
This shop is stocked. Mum has made some more bags. There's currently some McLean bags, Gordon Farquharson Tartan Project bags. And also, there's one ancient Fraser and one ancient Macmillan, which a Heather on Etsy asked about months ago, but it's never got back in touch with me. Heather, it's there! If you feel you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back, then please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Keith's Craft.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. I'm very conscious that my voice is flat today and there's no much crack about it. And I will admit to being quite poorly this afternoon. I got the Bairn's sick bug. So I was going to record earlier on. I was editing and, well, I wasn't very well. So I'm currently sipping water and sounding really dull. But because of the announcements I promised you on Thursday, I'm doing it because I'm that way inclined. I'm sorry for you having to listen to really dull Louise. But you've got nice Louise in the drams. So I really do appreciate you taking the time and listen and downloading and using up your precious internet. My email, which I love to get emails from you, is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com, especially from Marsha Schmorta, who does voice emails. It's brilliant. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as Keithness Craft with my brand new logo. And you can access the Flickr photos from Louise J 2010 or via the Podbean site at www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and the photographs are down the right hand side of there. The music again is from Avalon Rising with the Great Selkie and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening. And do keep on crafting.